You should know that he.
The gavel is only in the other room, and then we can go get it if we need it. So, it's 6 o'clock, I'm gonna call the meeting to order. We have Supervisor Dodge, Supervisor Skoletsky, Supervisor Decker present. We have our two youth in governance, Colin and Bianca, and Supervisor Underhill is excused. We have staff on hand, and we're ready to go. Certification of compliance.
Yes, it was published twice, May 31st and June 5th.
Thank you. Do you have any extension orientation?
Great, well, welcome. We are so excited to have an opportunity to talk about what we do, because we love what we do. You're gonna get a chance tonight to get a little snippet of the very varied variety of programs that our office delivers through our educators and the program areas by which they work. Now, this is gonna be a repeat for some of you, so for that I say maybe you'll learn something additional new as well as the stuff that you already know. Not everyone is here this evening, so I handed out the one cheat sheet so that you'd have a reference document that would list all of our colleagues in the office so that at some point in the future, if you haven't met them, you'll get a chance to at future meetings, but it also sort of identifies what program they work from in our office. I'm Teddy Winnett, and I'm the director of our UW Extension office, and I'm just going to give a very brief overview of our office, because the most of our content this evening is going to be the educators talking about their programs. Then my plan is to follow up next month with a bit more detail about how we're funded, how we're connected to the bigger UW system, and some of the more operational aspects of the county. The piece I do want to highlight is, for those of you who got the Wisconsin Counties Association magazine at the beginning of the year, we are 100 years old. So it's our centennial as a state organization, and it is our 95th anniversary as a county office here in Kenosha. So colleagues ahead of us have been doing this for 95 years. That's pretty awesome. Makes it pretty exciting for us, actually. So just real quickly, our areas of focus and the program areas of which we work, and when we are hired as educators in the UW system through Cooperative Extension, we are housed in, I guess for lack of a better word, or program as a part of one of these areas. Agricultural and natural resources, and so you can see if you follow the org chart on the top, that's the box up there on the top left with Rose Scora. She'll introduce herself soon. And within agriculture and natural resources is also horticulture, and that's Barb Larson, and she's down at the very bottom box for horticulture. Community, natural resources and economic development, which goes by many, many names. You're gonna hear it referred to as CONRAD, using all the letters C-N-R-E-D. You'll see it referred to as community development, community resource development. So it goes by a lot of acronyms. And that box is the top right community development box. Steve Branca is an interim educator in our office right now. He is serving as a backfill for Annie Jones, who has been our community development educator for about 10 years, and she's on a statewide assignment. So he's in an interim position while she's in her statewide role. Underneath Steve's name is Kristen Lee, and Kristen is the community planning educator, and we actually share her and with the Department of Planning and Development. She has worked extensively with their smart growth plans, does community planning pieces. Her name will sound familiar because she sends the committee agendas to you as well as has been using her talents as a grant writer and writing grants, particularly for the Department of Public Works. So she's been successful in helping them get some of those grant funds they had to do the dam removal and those kinds of things. So then you'll see the family living programs, and our family living programs are sort of split. Our major family living program is our nutrition education program, and we share that with Racine County. So you're gonna see the box under community development there on the right that says RECNEP, as we affectionately call it. That stands for the Racine Kenosha Nutrition Education Program, RECNEP. And Amy Martinez is here this evening, and she's the administrator of the program, and those are the staff we have there. They are housed in the building in Racine known as Next Generation Now. As they're so large, we physically don't have the space for them, nor does the Racine County office. So I should have backed up and have said, Rose, our agriculture educator, we also split with Racine County. So those are the two programs that we share 50-50 with our colleagues to the north. John splits his time between the family living piece and youth programs. So you'll see the box on the org chart called Youth and Family. So he's got a foot in both areas of the family living program for family programs, particularly parenting, and then youth programs around which he will spend more time talking to you about all of those. And he'll talk about the staff who are there in those capacities. So with that, I'm just going to quickly give the what you'll see as they chat about and share with you their programs, what we do as an educator. They are faculty or academic staff of the UW system. We are within departments within Cooperative Extension, and our roles vary from teaching, conducting applied research, we facilitate groups and processes, we customize our programs for our local area. So just because you saw something here in Kenosha County doesn't mean that you're going to be able to go to Rock County or Walworth County or Dane County and see the same thing. Sometimes you do, but it's varied depending upon the local situation. Our jobs are to interpret the knowledge of the university that's done on our campuses. We do that with the assistance of state specialists, and then we become that link between the campus and our communities. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Rose.
As Teddy said, my name is Rose Scora. I've been the agriculture educator in Kenosha and counties for 14 years. And so I'm just going to go over my the main programs that I work on within that. One is working on youth programming, agricultural entrepreneurship, and rural landowner education. So under the youth programming piece, I do two main programs. One is called Meat Animal Quality Assurance. Ironically, both of the youth programs are mandated programs. So the Meat Animal Quality Assurance is actually a federal mandate, or a national, I should say federal, it's a national mandate through the National Pork Board, and any youth producer who's producing pork and selling it at the state fairs, excuse me, at the county fair is required to go through a quality assurance program. So we teach that in both counties, and that ends up being a pretty large program when we're all said and done. And then tractor safety, again, is a mandate through the state. The state says that any youth who is driving a farm implement on public roads, who is between the age of 12 and 16, has to go through a 24-hour tractor safety course. So we are the ones who facilitate that, and we collaborate with Walworth County to offer that. We do it at the Burlington High School. And then agricultural entrepreneurship, that actually wasn't in my job description when I started, but we quickly realized that that was an area that needed to be focused on. So it's focused both on farmers who are choosing to look for avenues other than the commodities as a way to sell their products. So they might be selling to farmers markets or on the farm or through a community supported agriculture, whatever it is. They're choosing a more direct way to sell their products to consumers. And so we've done a lot of general education, but lately, in probably the last 5 or 6 years, we've really focused on farmers markets and doing a lot of education there. We also do consumer education, and our biggest push on consumer education has been the Farm Fresh Atlas. That's been a big partnership with a variety of organizations, and it's a booklet, and I should have brought some today, but I was going paperless, but you can Google it, Farm Fresh Atlas. But so it's a listing of farmers, farmers markets, and related businesses in Southeast Wisconsin, and it covers a 9-county area. And this is, I think, our 6th year that we've done this. It's free to consumers, but the farmers and the businesses who are listed do pay, and that's basically how we've been able to continue to do it, is by that revenue. And finally, rural landowner education is, and that was something actually that came up too, that as I got into my position, realized that there was a need here in Kenosha and Racine counties where we're seeing a lot of folks that own land, but they're not necessarily farming that land. And we wanted to make sure that folks were getting good education about how to use that land. So we do an annual, what we call rural landowner conference here in November. I think we're going on our sixth year. We focus on small tracts, so it might be fruit production, vegetable production, whatever it might be. Then we do a conservation track, and we've also done an equine track on that one. And then finally, we do what we call our bi-state equine education. Ironically, the reason I started doing education to our horse owners was because a dairy farmer said to me, "Rose, you got to teach those horse people how to manage their manure." So that's actually how that started, and we actually have a wonderful relationship. It turns out that there's more horses in Lake County, Illinois than basically anywhere else in the world. So we've got a really nice collaborative relationship with Illinois. So we've done all of that horse education with Illinois Extension. So we've actually flopped back and forth. Sometimes we do the workshops in Illinois, and sometimes we do them in Wisconsin. So that's me, unless you have any questions. Great, I'll pass the wand.
So related, I'm Barb Larson, I'm the horticulture educator, and before I get started, I'd like to introduce Max Cruz. Max is an intern with me for the summertime, and he is, even though he's got that M on his chest, and I'm a Wisconsin grad, so I did allow him. He is from Kenosha, he graduated from Indian Trail, so I couldn't believe he called me or emailed and said, "I'm looking for an internship. Would you be interested?" And I said, "Of course, this is great." So he's here working on the horticulture programs until the middle of August. So we're really excited to have him. Okay, so the horticulture program. Horticulture is more than gardening. It includes environmental things. It includes some production kinds of things. So it's anything that relates to green space, and all sorts of other things, including how plants and the outdoors and the environment helps us, is therapeutic, makes us feel better, and is economic development. Because we know that as things are looking good, they're beautiful, it actually makes people want to live in those communities. So we do everything related to it. My biggest program is the Master Gardener Volunteer Program. It is a joint program with Kenosha and Racine Counties. There is a horticulture educator in Racine County that's like me. And we do similar but not identical programming, but some of the things we do jointly in the Master Gardener Program is a two-county program. We currently have 185 certified active Master Gardener volunteers. In order to become a Master Gardener volunteer, they have to complete 36 hours of training. They have to take a final exam, open book, not closed, but they have to take a final exam, and then they have to volunteer a minimum of 24 hours on a Master Gardener activity or a volunteer project, and you'll see those in just a minute or a little thing on those. And then in order to stay in the program, every year they have to, again, volunteer a minimum of 24 hours and get 10 hours of approved continuing education, because these are highly trained, highly educated volunteers. And they do a variety of different community service and educational kinds of things. And I always like to tell people, Master Gardeners aren't free labor. They're educated people to teach. They help expand our teaching capacity. So, just to show off, I did this little video for the Master Gardeners for their appreciation in December. And I got the music. So you can see a little bit about what they're doing in Kenosha. Any questions? Working in schools? Chiwaukee Prairie? Thank you. 2011, our Master Gardener volunteers in Kenosha and Racine, you see, donated almost 11,000 hours. And if we use the Points of Light Foundation value for trained volunteers, you see what kind of value this has brought back into our communities. Yes?
Question comes to my mind, and maybe you can explain. Kenosha County is contracting out the landscaping for the courthouse. Were you available for something like that, or why didn't we consider you?
Well, I actually worked with the person that's helping to do part of that as an advisory capacity. Master gardeners are for education, not free landscape maintenance. Now, a lot of the master gardener projects include county facilities, and here is a perfect example. But I don't know if you noticed when you came in, we have signs on everything. We're trialing some new plants there. I guess something like that might be possible at the courthouse. At one point, it was a master gardener activity, but it was just basically weeding. And we feel that, although that's a very wonderful thing to do, that we really want to use these trained volunteers to educate.
Okay. But so, I'm just going to add that they did tap Barb's expertise.
Yes.
For the input
in the design,
for the planning.
The plant
so she had a big influence in the design of what they're going to actually put in. So,
yeah. We're currently working at Brookside and with the staff there for a couple of things. One is to lower the maintenance at with Brookside and some of the other sites, but also to go more towards a true therapeutic gardens there. Where it would include sensory, you know, smell, touch, sound, all of those kinds of things, and do go instead of just a beautiful landscape, which it is, but to then develop it into a true therapeutic landscape. We also have master gardeners that work at Kemper, too. So they are working in a number of different county facilities.
Okay.
Other questions about the master gardener program? I should say we don't have, at least for the Master Gardener program I mentioned, we don't have lines. We have Racine residents who work in Kenosha and vice versa. So it's very back and forth. Between the two counties, there's about 32 approved projects. And then there's a number of other things that schools call, please come give us a program, garden centers, composting education. So there's all sorts of other things. We also do plant problem diagnosis. There's no charge for this unless it has to go to one of the university clinics where there is a small charge for that, and that's because they do culture things in the plant pathology clinic or the soil testing. We have, additionally trained Master Gardener volunteers that help answer the phones, that are at Harbor Market. If you go down there, they have a little tent. The second and fourth Saturdays of the month. And so they're also answering all sorts of gardening questions, providing knowledge-based, research-based answers. We don't have one side or the other. We give them all the options, and then it's up to the individual to choose from those research-based information and very trustworthy information. We also do a number of seminars, presentations, and all those kinds of things for the general public. I write a weekly column for the Kenosha News. If you haven't seen that, it's on Thursdays. Also, twice a year for the Prime Magazine. And if you go to the Kenosha News website, last year I did little podcasts, video casts on vegetable gardening and starting vegetable gardening. So that's all there. Don't laugh, or maybe you want something for the podcast. We also work a lot with community groups, both the Master Gardeners and I. We've worked quite a lot in advising them for community gardens and all sorts of other kinds of things, from beautification to gardening to environmental kinds of things, rain gardens, all that kind of stuff. Then I have the other part is what I would call the professional side of it, and this is working with the county and the different county departments on a number of different things as a consultant and an advisor. So things like we talked about the courthouse here at the county center, Brookside, we talked about the horticulture therapy, Katy Park, Teddy and I were both very involved in that, and we said also at Kemper Center, so working with them in a number of ways. Then the other thing is I do work with horticulture professionals, or what are also called green industry professionals, and these are landscapers, arborists, lawn care companies, anybody that has plants, grows a plants, works with that in any way. We do a short course in February, so 4 weeks in February we do a short course, and have experts come in to teach about that. And then we also do a field day, a multi-county field day at Berner in midsummer. And I also act as a consultant, obviously, not only for the landscape industry, but I work with Rose for the particularly what I would call fruit and vegetable crop industry that I work with. I don't do cows. That's Rose's thing. So any other questions or things about
what you mentioned Katy Park?
Yes.
What did you guys do out there? Because it's not very deeply developed, so I was just
curious. We were on the advisory committee, and Teddy chaired the education subcommittee, advisory committee, I don't even remember what the official title was, to look at how could that become not only a sustainable park, but to also add ideas into the Green Ribbon Committee to make it an educational venue out there, too. And then we were really the ones that helped connect with a lot of the schools out in that area, but also with Carthage and Parkside and all of those kinds of things to look at it in for a non-traditional type of park, a very broad aspect of our park. Anything else? Okay.
I'll talk about Steve. Steve, the interim for Community Natural Resources and Economic Development, is in Stevens Point attending a conference on sustainability. And Kristen Lee is on vacation, a well-deserved vacation. The areas that we currently have had focus on, and most of these would be around Annie's programming as I speak in terms of what has occurred in this particular area, would be around organizational development. And that's primarily providing strategic planning resources or board development resources for nonprofits or very government-related entities. So currently Steve is doing a strategic planning process for the Kenosha Public Museums, as well as he just started a planning process for Peace Learning Circles, which is a Southeast Wisconsin organization to promote peace. So he's jumped right in and has done some of the strategic planning processes in his short time that he's been here. A program that we're really proud of and has a long history is Leadership Kenosha. Leadership Kenosha is a program of the Kenosha Area Chamber of Commerce, and they partner with us, UW Extension, to actually facilitate and deliver the program content for Leadership Kenosha. I'm currently the facilitator for Leadership Kenosha, and I am loving it. So we'll talk about that a little bit later, but it's a great program. It's a professional development program for anyone to go through the program. It's 9 months. It's a two-pronged approach. One is we do leadership development. So we go through skill development all the way from strategic planning, conflict resolution, communication styles. But the other unique component is we immerse you into the various aspects and sectors of the Kenosha community. So we visit the prisons, we visit the courts, we visit a business, we visit a nonprofit, we visit government. So we get the various different segments of the Kenosha community. And people who have lived in Kenosha all their life tell me at the end of the program, I never knew half of this existed. I learned so much, and I've lived here my whole life. Then I say, we've done our job. We've introduced them to some new aspects of the community. Community planning comes up in the role that Kristen's been playing, and that's our connection to the Planning and Development Office. If you think of planning and development as the second part of your committee assignment, you know that's all about the regulatory piece of it and the compliance piece of it, and some of the planning piece. Kristen's actually that educational end of it that helps to communicate those messages out to the community. So she's really busy doing the newsletter, their websites, helped with getting everything set up on their counter. When you walk into the Planning and Development Office, they've got that easy access to the consumer to have information at their fingertips on a computer. Think of Kristen sort of behind the scenes in a lot of that, because she does the education public part of that piece. And the neighborhood revitalization is really sort of a connection we're making in youth programs right now, and John will talk about that a bit at the Brass Community School, where we've got an educator working in that capacity. We also have been very active with the Urban Outreach Center at Grace Lutheran Church on 60th Street in Kenosha, again, trying to bring our educational resources to existing pieces in neighborhoods to help contribute to that overall revitalization and economic thriving for those neighborhoods. Okay. I've really talked about a lot of this already. I was remiss in not mentioning our partnership with United Way. And that is our CAL series, which stands for Creating Organizational Wellness. It's a monthly workshop that we have established topics for nonprofit directors to gain and increase their capacity from their perspective. And everything from demographics to grant writing to volunteer development have been some of the topics that they've done. I've already mentioned strategic planning. I talked about the great program in Leadership Kenosha, which, by the way, many of our educators have gone through the program, so we have quite a few graduates right within our mix. And I mentioned the community development piece, the demographic and the economic research. So we often are called upon other county departments to give them data about information they need for their own grant writing, and we're able to do that. And our neighborhood development is our BRASS project, working with Urban Outreach Center and are working with the Summer AmeriCorps Vistas, and John's going to talk about that. So I'm going to turn it over to Amy, who will jump into our nutrition programs.
Hi. No food tonight. No food tonight. I wrote that down so I didn't forget to remind all of you. So I'm Amy Martinez. I'm the administrator of our Racine Kenosha Nutrition Education Program through the UW Extension. This is the orientation period. In August, we start kind of our traditional, what we do month to month, and we do a feature program, and that's when our program's going to be featured. So the August meeting, you'll meet a few of our nutrition educators. We now have 8 nutrition educators. We're fully staffed, which is fantastic. And our most recent 2 started May 1st, so we're still in training mode. And in August, we'll come in, we'll give you guys an experience kind of similar to what we teach our learners, some of the nutrition education that we teach. You will be our students for the evening, and it usually comes with a food sample. So I know that's always very popular. Barb's got the bugs, we've got the food. So we try and keep it interesting.
Yeah, we never do it the same
day. We never do it the same day. So leading in on that, our kind of main topics we teach, nutrition education, it's all prevention messaging. We don't go in and talk about diabetes education and things like that. Our nutrition educators are trained on the job to provide prevention-based messaging out in the community. So we really focus on nutrition education. We focus on food safety, which is really critical for people. Preschoolers, we talk about hand washing, all the way up through adults and parents talking about how to prepare food safely, cook it to the right temperature, things like that. And then because our program and our funding, for our program, we focus on low-income populations, we also discuss a lot of food resource management, which is really around how to get the most out of your food dollars that you have to spend, how to make sure you don't run out of food at the end of the month, and to really decrease food insecurity in our communities. So that's one of our kind of pieces in our core messaging. And sometimes they all go together, and sometimes they're a little more focused. So in an effort to go paperless, I'm going to put us to our website quickly here. Even though we're through Racine and Kenosha counties, so our educators are split their time between both counties, our website is on the Kenosha County site. So if you go to the Kenosha County Extension site, you'll see right over here is nutrition education. And we have some information. We're kind of trying to regularly update our website. But last summer, one of the Vistas that we had working with us put together a video for our programming. And it's not as beautiful and fancy as Barb's with music.
It was all a program online.
Very nice. So I just thought I'd give you a little taste of some of our program.
Nutrition education for individuals with limited income.
In
our and
their purple cow mustaches. Blueberries. That last programming was at the Shalom Center, the homeless shelter, and we do twice a month we go there and we do different classes and helping people, and part of the class is education and the other half we go into the kitchen there and teach people how to make kind of, you know, simple meals, and it's driven by the participants there. So, you know, our educator goes and she'll say, okay, here's some recipes we could do, and we try and pull together, you know, low cost things, but, you know, something is simple as making a pizza instead of ordering it, a lot of people haven't done. So that was a really fun one, and people really could not believe that they made a pizza that turned out very well for themselves. So that's one of our programs there. And I just wanted to show you two. So that's kind of the About Us, give some details. And you can also get our contact information is on this website. And we also have all of our nutrition educators, with the exception of our new two that started in May, their information, you know, their email addresses and things are right here too. And like I said, some of them you'll be meeting in August when we come in and do our presentation for all of you. So we've got that, and then we recently set up a Facebook site. Oh, maybe I can't go there. Are you restricted for Facebook? No. Well, I can send that link out, and I think we do have it on our website as well. But we do have a lot of information. We try and keep current there. We have a social media plan where we post at least once a week on our website updates, nutrition information, healthy things. If there are food recalls and things like that, we post those as well. We have a couple of followers on our website right here. And we do try and really keep it current with some good information up there as well. So feel free to find us and like us on Facebook. It's if you search Racine Kenosha Nutrition Education Program, we would pop up. So, but we can send that link out too. So Teddy had sent out earlier in the month, RecNep at a Glance. It's a handout. I did bring copies if anybody wants one, even though we're on paperless. So we have, I kind of just did a brief breakdown here of what our programming looks like. So we are unique from the rest of our Kenosha County Extension colleagues in that we're completely federally funded. And we have two funding sources, both from the USDA. Our smaller funding source is FNAP, which is the Expanded Food and Nutrition Education Program. It's about 30% of our budget, and it primarily focuses on parents of young children. And we have a very specific curriculum that we do. It's called Eating Smart, Being Active. It's an 8-week curriculum that really focuses on healthy eating, stretching your food dollar, all the kind of things I mentioned, and sprinkles food safety in throughout the whole lessons. That's a program that we teach as home visits and as groups. We get a lot of referrals from different agencies. I'll kind of talk about some of those later. And then we have a smaller portion of that funding that's for youth programming. And that program actually is being revamped completely at the federal level. And so our county is actually going to pilot that program next spring for the state. And kind of we're looking at different curriculum now to teach. And the good news about that is that it's really going to be very strongly evaluated for that programming, which the youth piece hasn't been as much as the adult piece. So we're really excited about that to be piloting for the state. This funding source for the state is only in 6 counties, and our Racine Kenosha project represents 2 of those 6 counties. And then the SNAP Ed, which is our bigger funding, SNAP is the Special Nutrition Assistance Program. That's the food stamp or the food share dollars. And they've added an education piece to that several years ago now. But thinking that if we're providing people, you know, dollars to spend on food, maybe we could also provide them some education on how to spend those food dollars wisely to try and help them maximize their food dollar. Again, try and keep from running out of food, you know, during the month. a very large percentage of families, you know, with young children receive food share. So it's really critical to help make sure they get the best nutrition during those growing years. We also have somewhat new data out showing that about two-thirds of seniors that are eligible for food share aren't receiving it because they don't know that they're eligible. So that's a new population that we're actually going to be focusing on this year and trying to do some more senior education and kind of reaching out to them about eating healthier, you know, as you get older, and then also trying to educate them on the possibility of being eligible for food share if they're not. Both of our programming, you know, regardless of the funding, really focuses on improving quality of life through nutrition intervention. And I just kind of gave it just a brief thing. To be eligible for our program, individuals need to either receive or be eligible to receive food share, be on WIC or TFAP, which is a federal commodity program that's usually run through the food pantry. So if people are accessing food pantries, they're typically eligible and income eligible for our programming. And the schools that we work with, 50% or more of the children receive free or reduced lunch. So that's why we're not in every single school in, you know, Kenosha or Racine County, but I think the only school that we're in that we're not in that would be eligible is Roosevelt, and they just recently became eligible with the closing of Columbus School and the kids that were relocated there. So basically this is just kind of where we teach in Kenosha, so where you would find our programming. Anyone is welcome at any time to come out and check out our programs and observe. So if you're interested in one of these sites or want to see what we do there, obviously with the exception of the schools because they just let out. So come, you know, October when we start up again, you'd be welcome to come out to the school sites. For our FNET programming, again, we focus on home visits for that program. But we also do classes at Head Start. We get referrals from Head Start and early Head Start. We work with PSN at the Kenosha Job Center, so we provide classes there. We also provide the same program with the Reuther High School team parents who are now going to be relocating to Indian Trails. And then with our SNAP programming, because it's a larger portion of our funding, we work in a lot of different areas. So we work very closely with the Boys and Girls Club after school programming and all the different elementary schools that they're part of. So we do an after school cooking class called Kinder Chefs, which has been really popular. It's been going on for years and years. That is a program unique to Kenosha that you won't find in other counties. So it was developed here. We work at Indian Trails with youth with disabilities. The Kenosha Job Center, we actually work with individuals receiving W-2. We go on and provide classes for them. Kenosha Unified, so that's the list of schools we're in Kenosha Unified right now. We work with the Head Start program very closely. We also do SNAP programming with the Reuther pregnant teens and then the teen moms. We go to the WIC program pretty regularly. We're now actually starting to do the cooking demos at their farmer's market. So a couple times a month, we'll be at the farmer's market out there. So if you're driving by WIC on 20th and 63rd, you see the farmer's market. We may be there, and if not, you can always shop with that farmer, too, because he's selling some very nice produce out there. The Shalom Center, we do the shelter, the food pantry, the sharing center, which is relocated to Trevor. We just started doing some classes there right after they opened, so that's been really fantastic. The food pantry participants has been awesome programming.
And I just need to share that picture that Amy just showed previously. I took that on Monday. Yep. This is the inside of the new Sharing Center food pantry, and Cindy is there teaching, giving nutrition lessons based upon what they have available. So if they're really long on green beans or they really want people to learn how to cook more with beans, they'll let our nutrition educators know, and then that's what we try to teach. So we try to say, hey, they've got a lot of beans here. This is what you can make with beans, because people are like, what do I do with these beans? Then they eat it, and they're like, wow, can I have that recipe? And then they're able. So we try really closely to interact and partner with those food pantries. We do this also at the Shalom Center in Kenosha.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's just a really, I was there and I just was snapping pictures. This is so cool. It's really nice.
It's really great. And like I said, I mean, they just reopened, I don't know, like 3 weeks ago. So yeah. We just recently started doing these programs again for them. It's been fantastic. One of our great success stories at Shalom Center, when we started doing this, they said, you know, we've got all this powdered milk and nobody knows what to do with it and they won't take it, but we've got it here. So we said, okay, we've got this great recipe. It's like a beefy mac and cheese. You add a bag of frozen broccoli to it. We made it. And that day, the one day we were there for 4 hours at the food pantry, they sold out of all of their powdered milk. And they couldn't believe it. They're like, nobody will touch this stuff. How did you do that? I said, well, we just showed them how to use it. Because if you reconstitute it and drink it, not really palatable. You probably don't want to do that, and you can see why people wouldn't want to take it if that's how they're trying to use it. But if you mix it in with stuff, you can start your, you don't have to use your regular milk. You know, you can make homemade mac and cheese instead of buying packaged, you know, processed stuff. And then you can freeze it. You can make a lot of it, you can freeze it, and then you've got a couple meals going on. So it's a multi-purpose lesson, but they literally sold out of, you know, powdered milk, and we're just floored by it. Our educator that's there, they got fresh salmon there like 2 months ago. Somebody, when Gordon Foods or someone gave them all this fresh salmon. And so she prepared it in the electric skillet. People had never tried it before, were trying it. And this woman came up to her this just last week, 2 months later, and she said, I want to try what you have here. So I tried that salmon last time, and I went home and made it. So anyway, great stories from the food pantries, and we'll share more in August when we come and see you guys and provide. Any questions?
John, I have to say,
how's everybody doing?
You now have a rival for speaking time.
45 minutes. I have one slide. This is it. Put a lot of effort into that. Youth programs. I've been here since 2003. In fact, I think my final interview to get the position was in this very room. So I'm very comfortable in this space. My major audience is youth, hence in the title, Youth and Family Educator. But these are the five core programs that I work with. And core means they typically come back year after year. And these are the five programs that we've committed to saying we will be here for the long haul. The largest and most complex program we offer is the Kenosha County 4-H program. And a lot of people have a perception of 4-H and what it is. And so we deal a lot with that, with perception about young people, especially in agriculture, raising animals and taking them to the fair. And definitely 4-H is part of that. But the main emphasis of 4-H is building life skills and building leadership skills in young people. Now, what you won't be able to notice on this clover is this little 18 USC 707 right there. Actually, 4-H was created by Congress. It is a program of the federal government. The clover is protected by an act of Congress, and we are responsible for ensuring that this public program remains pure to its mission. So really, it's about, once again, building leadership skills and life skills in young people. What's interesting, as the educational administrator over this program, we have lots of 4-H clubs out there in the community who raise funds and do great things for young people. And just recently, we instituted a chartering process by which we review what clubs do on an annual basis and also review their funds. And what is different from 4-H and most other organizations is every dollar that's raised under the banner of the Clover are considered public funds. Much like the public funds that you all oversee in your role as county board supervisors. So we have volunteers who actually oversee these public funds and make sure that they're used to increase these opportunities for young people. So I can spend a lot more time about 4-H, and we'll have a session where we talk more in depth about 4-H. Another program that started back about 7 years ago, Youth is Resources. It's a group of youth and adult volunteers who get together on a monthly basis and grant monies out to other youth groups to do service projects. Up to $500, they get the cash up front, and all the money for those service projects comes from the United Way. So I want to make sure that people know where that money comes from, because that partnership with the United Way is absolutely critical in helping us deliver that particular program. The other really cool thing about YAR, or Youth as Resources, is any youth group can apply for those funds. School groups, 4-H clubs, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, church groups, doesn't matter. It's all about the service project. So that's what YAR works on. Youth and Governance, I got some people that are very familiar with this program. The educational oversight, or the oversight for that program, lies with this committee. And so Teddy and I will be working with this group throughout the year as we gear up, believe it or not. In November, we already start gearing up for next year's group as we keep that cycle moving. And this is our sixth year on Youth and Governance, so lots of great stuff going on there. Youth Quest is a program that I do. I go out to high schools and talk to young people about their futures. And we offer lots of resources on how to prepare for your future, especially that next move from high school into college, how to pick the right college for you. And especially now I see in the news, we were cool before it's cool with everyone else, but we were talking about researching your colleges 5-6 years ago, and now we're noticing that that's becoming more and more a place in the news. It's saying, are people really getting the value for the investment that they're making? Young people graduating with big student loans and they can't pay them off. So we spend a lot of time in the Youth Quest program talking about how to find the right school for you and how to pick the right career that's actually going to pay you back in the future. Finally, our work with after-school programs. Currently, we're working on a pilot program called After School Ambassadors. We noticed that young people in the city of Kenosha especially, we needed tutors and mentors. And we noticed that the adults are working or can't make it in or whatever. So I'm a big advocate for young people. And I'm like, hey, if we've got, you know, third, fourth, and fifth graders that need a tutor or a mentor, let's go ask high school students to come on in. So we've been doing that for the last 2 years as a pilot. It's been going great, and we're looking to blow it up bigger next year. So that's the after-school ambassador program. So these are our five core programs. We also offer babysitting. And this came up a few years ago. I had a call from a Western County parent who said, hey, John, do you offer the Red Cross babysitter class? And I'm like, no, but let me find out who can. And I get on the phone and I find out nobody offers it, especially west of the I. So now we offer the program not only west of the I, but east of the I for young people. So we offer that program as well. I should mention very quickly, when I say we, who do I mean? I don't do this program or these programs alone. There's a whole host of people that work with me. I'm the faculty member that oversees all the programs. Beth Kitzrow is my program assistant, or the program assistant for 4-H Youth Development Programs. In fact, she'd be here tonight.
And her name is listed as Sorcy on the page, John.
Did I say Kitzrow?
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, you got Beth got married last year, and it's taken me over a year to learn her new name. Yes, Beth Sorcy.
It's the same person.
She'd give me a look if she were in here. She's actually next door helping young kids sign up for State Fair. So that's where she is tonight. We also have Holly Meyer, who does some part-time work with our Brass School. She is a volunteer and also works as a staff member to do a lot of our programming there. She also is one of our main coordinators at the Urban Outreach Center, which Teddy mentioned. We do a summer camp there where we bring in college students to actually help us deliver a program through the AmeriCorps VISTA program. So Holly's also on her staff. And then finally, YAR is coordinated by a Youth and Governance alumni who is a Carthage College student, Patricia Gonzalez. And so what's really been great with Carthage is they offered her a work-study position. So they take care of paying her and getting her all set up, and she comes and does the work here for us. So we both kind of win in that partnership. But as you notice, we have lots of people on the staff from a variety of funding sources. But probably the most important thing, especially with our Youth as Resources program and our 4-H program, are the number of volunteers. We have 4 volunteers that work in Youth as Resources, working with the young people every month. And 4-H has about 150 adult volunteers in the county who donate their time to make that program happen for over 600 young people. So the program itself reaches a lot. And once again, if it was just Beth and I, we would never be able to reach all those folks. So we build the capacity in other people so that they can deliver the programs. And that's what I do. I have a lot of fun. So if you ever want to talk more, I'm down the hall. So, and that's pretty much my rambling. Not bad, huh?
That's like the fastest.
That's record time. Yeah, very sensitive to your other meetings. So.
Thank you.
And so that's our part one orientation. We'll do part two next month, and hopefully we'll see new faces and other staff members. And then our plan is, on a monthly basis, to give a feature program, an opportunity to really immerse in some of the more specific areas that we work in. So you can be our learners and participate as if our learners do. So it gives you a better understanding. So.
Very good.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
The last item I had on the agenda was just to check in for anyone who is planning to attend the conference it's the Wisconsin Association of County Extension Committees, and I did send that out via email. So you are part of a larger state organization because you're a member of this County Extension Committee. They meet once a year for this annual conference. This year it happens to be in Green Bay, and they're gonna do a centennial celebration on Sunday night at Lambeau Field to celebrate the centennial. So I just wanted to check in to see, Kim, you raised your hand, so you are planning to go?
Yes.
Great, so I just wanted to see that. You've taken care of all the details,
yep.
And I'll see you there.
Take advantage of it.
Did you? Yeah, why not? Huh? Okay, terrific. So that's all we have. And if you want to read it.
What about the youth and governance tour? Are you going to send out an email to everyone or something so we can RSVP that if we're coming as county board members?
We could. I sent it to the new members. I sent it to so the new members have received that and been invited. But I didn't send it to all the supervisors. I only sent it to the new ones. So we.
Yeah, probably some of those old timers could use it.
You're a refresher.
I can definitely do that. I can extend it and say, we won't have room. I've been, sort of apologizing. We won't have room on the bus, but I can pass out the schedule and they could join us at any park if there's maybe a specific building they're interested in touring rather than going the whole day. But they could also
have
join
to
us.
Ride? A bus full of high school?
I will be.
So they have something to look forward to. It would be exciting. It really is a great immersion experience. And it gives you, I would say get a good night's sleep and eat your Wheaties in the morning because it's a long day.
Yeah.
It's a very long day. But I can do that. I'll send that out tomorrow and invite all the supervisors and we'll see if anybody takes us up on it.
Well, because I know some of the, 2 years ago we had 11 new supervisors and I was the only one that went on the tour that year. So
you were. Yep.
Excuse us. We have Master Gardener update. Anybody gets bored with what you're doing, wants to look at sick plants, come on over.
Okay. Thanks for being here,
Thank
Max.
You.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else? Any questions from the committee?
Last night, another gentleman spoke regarding Harvard Mart. Was it Harvard Mart?
Yes.
And he had unfortunately,
I don't know. Oh, that's what it was. That's
right. You know.
Yes.
Yeah. They're looking for extending out and getting more
vendors.
Vendors from Kenosha County and especially in specific areas. So I thought I just mentioned.
Okay.
Down and we're looking to want to,
okay.
Marketplace.
Great.
In the Kenosha, probably some of the Kenosha area.
Excellent. Okay.
If you know who that gentleman is, okay.
I do.
Yes, she does. Okay, any other questions?
Have you gotten a hold of my youth and governance, Stephanie, that we could get hold of?
Not yet.
Okay.
Still
what
no
do you mean?
What
do you
mean your way either?
What?
No communication your way either?
She mentors two people.
Oh.
Just double checking her email because we're not getting communication.
I think that. And she didn't come to the first meeting. And
it was her birthday. Remember she telling me that she missed it for her birthday, but I thought she had talked to you.
Not me, and not and Sharon.
Mike is there.
So
yes.
Text her to give you guys a call or.
Yeah, have her give me a call just to make sure we've got everything right. And
that would be important
really
to know that
we
got the con.
Okay.
That'd be great.
And you can pass along that the committees are concerned. The mentor and the chair of the committee have responded to say, we're not hearing from her.
Okay.
So they want to know that their messages are being received. Okay, good. Good.
Awesome. Do you have any more 4-H t-shirts available for sale? Or are they all gone?
Probably have to do the
best of them.
I think there might be two, but yes, Beth would have
okay.
the better response on that one.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay, we are